Well, amen. I would agree with that. Thank you for the opportunity of being away last Sunday and doing something I have not done probably in over 30 plus years, and that was get to spend Father's Day with my dad. He's 92 years old, suffered a heart attack before Memorial Day weekend, and went into rehab, and then was discharged from that, and we've moved him into the care center and called hospice to kind of get started on that process. So thank you for your continued prayers. Thank you to the personnel committee for kind of letting me be flexible with work and spend some time in Oklahoma to be with my parents as we kind of approach the end of life for my dad. So thanks for that. Thanks for that gift. Allowing me that opportunity to kind of give him that gift of being present for Father's Day. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you and all that you allow me to do. So thank you. And I hope you had a great Father's Day and hopefully, you know, received some Father's Day cards. That was a side blessing of the weekend. Three of my four kids were able to kind of come over the course of the weekend, and so I got to see my kids, and they got to spend some time with their grandparents, and that was a blessing. You know, I read about this little boy whose mom took him to the store to buy a Father's Day card, and she was kind of looking through cards herself and happened to look down at her son, and he was just kind of taking one card after another. He'd open it up real quickly, close it back up, and just kind of stuff it back in the rack any which way. And so she kind of scolded him and then asked, you know, haven't you found a nice card for Dad yet? He says, no. I said, I'm still looking for one with money in it. I don't know about you, dads. I don't think I've ever gotten a card with money in it. You know, dads, we're kind of the bank. You know, the money's always going out. I don't ever really see it coming back in. But that little boy was looking for a card with money in it. So maybe you got one like that. During this month of June, in honor of Father's Day, we've been speaking specifically to the men. And examining the life of Gideon in the Old Testament and learn some important and valuable lessons about what it means to be a husband and father. And the sermon series has been called Mighty Men of Valor. And we began this series examining God's calling to be mighty men of valor. And we learned that God meets us where we are so that He can bring us where He wants us to be, and that God reveals Himself to us so that we can know Him more intimately, we can trust Him more fully, and we can follow Him more completely. And we mentioned in that opening sermon that God also sees what we can become. While other people may see our faults and our failures, God sees those too. But He sees beyond those to what we can become in Christ. God sees that potential that lies within. Men, God believes in you, and He sees in you a mighty warrior, a mighty man of valor in Christ. The second message, we kind of examined our commission from God to fulfill this most important task of defending our families from the attacks of the enemy. And the reason we're called mighty men of valor is because we have a battle to fight. We are engaged in this spiritual battle for our own hearts, for our wives, for our children, and for our future. And we recognize that we have some barriers to overcome as we engage in this battle. And we must overcome our doubts, our insecurities, our fears, as well as our past. But when we acknowledge God's presence, when we believe God's promise, when we obey God's commands, and we submit to God's control, we can be victorious in the battles that we are called to fight. And our study has kind of focused on this unlikely hero from the book of Judges. And we've talked about the fact that in the book of Judges, it's recording this recurring cycle of rebellion and disobedience. And as a result of the nation of Israel's rebellion and disobedience and wandering away from God's truth and worship no longer being a priority, that the neighboring nations then would begin to oppress them. And when the oppression got bad enough, they would cry out to God for help, and He would raise up a deliverer for them. And they would be delivered, they would be restored and be obedient for a while, and then the pattern would repeat itself over and over again. So that's what the book of Judges is recording. And our story occurs in Judges chapter 6. And we discover there in Judges chapter 6 that the Midianites have been oppressing God's people for 7 years. Raiding parties would devastate the land and the crops. And so the Israelites finally begin to cry out to God for help, and He responds to their cry by calling a very unlikely person, Gideon, to be their deliverer. And God comes to Gideon and He calls him a mighty warrior because He sees what Gideon can become. He also called him a mighty warrior because God knows there's a battle that He needs Gideon to fight. Here's the really good news. God called Gideon, He commissioned Gideon, but He also empowered Gideon to fulfill that calling and commission. Men, I would say to you, God is calling you to be a mighty warrior. God is calling you a mighty man of valor. He is commissioning you to stand up and fight for your family. And because He's calling and because He's commissioning, He will also empower you to fulfill that calling and to complete that mission. God is faithful to empower us to do exactly what He calls and commands us to do. In fact, He believes in you and in your ability to be successful in this role as a husband and father. It really doesn't matter if you've been successful in the past. You need to understand that God believes in you, so much so He calls you a mighty warrior. And He will empower you to succeed in that role. Now, how would our perspective change if we really grasp this concept that God is working for us to empower us as husbands and fathers that we might fulfill that calling? Well, God is going to be faithful to His promise. He is going to empower you in that task. Let's look at what God's Word has to say beginning here in Judges chapter 6, where God says to Gideon in verse 14, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And then the Lord reaffirms His promise to empower Gideon to defeat the Midianites when He says to him in verse 16, the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." You see, that's all we need right there, isn't it? God says to Gideon, "I will be with you, and you'll strike down all the Midianites." God's personal and powerful presence is all that we need to be mighty men of valor. Verse 34, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Gideon is filled with the Spirit to fulfill what God is calling and commissioning him to do. And so being filled with the Spirit, Gideon blows the trumpets. He calls for warriors, and 32,000 Israelites respond. to fight the Midianite army. Now that sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? 32,000 brave warriors. Until you realize that the Midianite army consists of 135,000 warriors. Well, I don't like those odds much if I'm on the side of the 32. But God does something amazing. He says to Gideon, no, that's too many. And God's going to whittle that army down from 32,000 to 300 men. 300 going up against 135,000. I'd have probably been happy to be one of the 30-some-odd thousand that got to go home. But God says to Gideon, with 300 men, I will deliver that army into your hands so that you won't be able to brag about our great strength in overcoming the enemy. God will get all of the glory for accomplishing this great victory. And so after he whittles that army down to 300, then he again affirms to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, where it says, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. And so Gideon and his 300 mighty warriors surround the Midianite camp during the middle watch of the night. They blew their trumpets, they smashed those jars, they lit their torches, and in chapter 7, verse 22, it kind of records the result. It says, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. In other words, they were so afraid and so confused, they started fighting each other, and the army fled. Gideon's warriors simply watched the Midianite army fall into panic and confusion and killing one another and a disordered, disorganized retreat. 120,000 Midianite soldiers would be killed. Gideon's small army of 300 men never could have produced such a tremendous victory in their own strength and ability. If they had just lined up in battle formation, that would have been a massacre. But they followed God's plan. They were obedient to what God called them to do. And God granted a great victory that day. You see, victory doesn't come because we're smarter. It doesn't come because we're stronger. It comes because we are obedient to what God calls and commands us to do. It comes because we're following His lead. Victory depends on our obedience to Him. It's the same truth that was revealed to Zerubbabel as he, against all odds, sought to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after they returned from being exiled to Babylon. Zechariah 4:6 says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We have a battle to fight. We are engaged in this battle. And the good news is, we'll be empowered to be victorious. That if we're obedient to the call and we're seeking to follow where God leads and do what God commands, He promises to empower us just as He empowered Gideon and that army of 300. Men, God is calling us to step up and be mighty men of valor. He's commissioning us to stand up and fight for our families and protect them against the attacks of the enemy. And whatever God calls us and commissions us to do, He will empower us to fulfill. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't feel much like a mighty warrior. That's okay. Neither did Gideon when God first called him. But I would remind you that God saw the potential in Gideon just as he sees the potential in you. And when God looks at you, he sees a mighty warrior. He sees a mighty man of valor. The key to becoming that mighty man of valor is to depend upon God's powerful presence with you. Not trusting in your own strength and ability, but trusting in Him and in His strength for you. I think the key to becoming mighty men of valor, becoming the husbands and fathers God's calling us to be, is beautifully captured in this observance here at this table. The observance of the Lord's Supper is a visual picture of our absolute dependence upon the Lord, our dependence on Him for life and strength. Now, I know we put a high premium in our culture on being self-sufficient, but that just doesn't work in the real world, does it? It's being God-dependent that matters most, and that is beautifully pictured as we gather here at this table today, because this observance pictures not only our union with Christ, it also pictures our communion with Christ. We gather here at this table today not to give, but to receive. We come humbly, acknowledging our need of Jesus and the life and the strength that He provides. This table is not a picture of our strength or our might or our affluence. This table is a picture of our weakness, our dependence, our poverty. This table is, though, a picture of Christ's sufficiency. Eating the bread and drinking the juice symbolizes that Jesus is our source of strength and might. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Men, we can be victorious. We can win the battle. We can be mighty men of valor. But that's only possible as we surrender to Jesus and let Him rule as King over our hearts and lives. You see, to have strength for each day's challenges, we eat something every day. Most of us kind of like to eat three meals a day and then some in between. And we need that food, that physical food, to sustain us, to enable us to meet the challenges that come with every day. This table reminds us that we too need that daily bread of life, that daily sustenance, that daily communion with Jesus. We must trust Him to empower us to fulfill what He calls us to be and He commands us to do. So in a moment, as you hold the bread and juice in your hands, you're really holding the key to being a mighty man of valor. Because the key to becoming a mighty man of valor is not a formula to follow. The key is a person. And His name is Jesus. And He believes in you. He died for you. And He can empower you to fulfill God's calling and commission. We must daily trust Him to guide us, daily depend on Him to strengthen us, daily follow wherever He leads. And to be reminded that if God is for you, if God is on your side, who can stand against you? We can be mighty warriors for Christ. This table really symbolizes that key to becoming mighty men of valor. Jesus is our source of strength and victory. And as we stay close to Him, symbolized through the sharing of bread and juice around a table, sharing a meal, that intimate fellowship together, then we can experience His Spirit empowering us to be mighty men of valor. Deacons, would you come and join me here at the table? As they are coming, I want to just say that all who are followers of Jesus are welcome to join with us in this observance this morning. And by our participation, we are saying that we have received Christ into our heart and life. By our participation in this observance, we are communicating our sense of dependence on the Lord for our source of strength and hope. I'm going to ask Wayne Stahl, if you would please, to lead us in prayer as we receive the bread.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this power that you have given to each one of us as we trust in Jesus as our Savior, the same power that protected Gideon and helped him to conquer the Midianites. I pray, Lord, that for our lives that we could understand the consequences of sins and how we need to look to you for that forgiveness that you provide, that unlimited mercy that's new every morning. I pray now as we partake of the bread, Lord, I pray that we remember all that you've done in our lives, and as we move forward that we can put away the old sins, the sins that we've committed, and replace them with fruit and replace them with being obedient to you and with the good works that you have planned for us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Serve the congregation. Thank you. Thank you, men. You may be seated. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, bread that sustains, bread that strengthens. Our eating the bread reminds us of our complete dependence upon Him as our source of strength for life. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and gave it to His disciples, and He said to them, take and eat. This is my body. Men, would you please stand? I'm going to ask Bob Hewlett, if you would please, to lead us in prayer as we receive the juice.
Well, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the life of Jesus who you gave freely to us on the cross. We're grateful that he shed his blood for us, that we could have forgiveness of sin. Help us to remember as we drink this cup the suffering he went through and the forgiveness that we have in him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. be seated. We read in Matthew, "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to his disciples, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Men, God is calling us to be mighty men of valor for our families, for our community, for our nation, and for our world. Jesus told us to take and eat and to drink from the cup because He is the source of strength. And it's through our union and communion with Him that we experience the victories in the battles that we're called to fight. And in order to become that mighty man of valor, we must remain vitally connected to Him, dependent upon Him every moment of every day. So, men, I would say to you, let's fulfill our calling. Let's trust God to empower us as we suit up and stand and fight. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that the battle's not really ours to win. You've already won. And as we depend on You working in and through us, Lord, we can experience that victory. The attacks will come. We have an enemy who would seek to destroy us, to rob us of the peace and the joy that You've planted in our hearts through Christ. So, Lord, may we suit up and stand up and experience the victory as mighty men of valor. Not to our praise and adoration, but to bring glory to Your name, because You're the one who gives the victory. God, I thank You for what You're going to do in each one of our hearts and lives as we just surrender to Your control and Your right to rule over our lives. Bless, Father, as we stand and fight for You and for Your kingdom. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of response is an opportunity to respond to how God is working in your heart and life. Maybe that is this morning to say, I want to be a part of this church family. And as we sing this song, I would encourage you just to step out and come and meet me here at the front and say, Pastor, I want to be a part of this church. And we will welcome you into what God's doing here. Maybe you just need to come and pray. And the altar is always open and available for you to come and just pray. Maybe this morning you realize that you can't win the battle because you've never welcomed Christ into your heart and life. That what we have symbolized here through this supper is not true for you. And I would encourage you to make that commitment to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And just during this song, just feel free to come on up and say, I need to make that commitment to Jesus. And we'll be happy to pray with you about that. Let's stand and sing together.